This is Financial Detox, helping you retire with confidence, featuring Jason Labrum, certified financial planner and founder of IDA Wealth, intelligence-driven advisors. For over 20 years, Jason has shown people how to steer clear of toxic advice, achieve financial peace of mind, and manage their wealth for maximum impact. Join Jason and co-host Alex Klingensmith as they simplify the complex, share industry secrets, and provide proven strategies designed to take you from financial insecurity to financial independence. This is Financial Detox. Money.
Welcome to Financial Detox. I'm Jason Labrum in studio with Alex Klingensmith, and we're back for another week of talking about how to get financially detoxified, make better investment decisions, save more money, maximize your financial life, pursue your life dreams, and all of those good things. And we're in studio with our producer, Mike, doing this with not only our audio today, but you can go to Financial, if you hear this on the radio show or you hear this on a podcast, you can also go to financialdetox.com and have the video of the show as well. So it's kind of fun.
We got YouTube now too. I think we can go to YouTube and Vimeo.
It's everywhere, man.
So my kids are doing their homeschool remote online learning, and they could end up on one of our Financial Detox YouTube videos.
They could. If they do, that's going to be weird. They're searching. Actually, Dax and Luke would.
I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. Maybe they go find themselves first and then spins them onto ours. When are they going to come back on the show, by the way?
We need to do that, huh?
Yeah.
Dax recorded all these shows, so he started doing podcasts after that show.
Yeah.
And then I failed as a dad in helping him launch that and like get it live and get it out somewhere where he could see.
You're not a great producer.
No. But we have producer Mike. We have producer Mike, so producer Mike can fix that for us.
This morning at breakfast, I finally got the kids' accounts out of the robo version into the ability to actually buy stuff. Because Harper, after listening to the show that your boys did, my kids, I'm like, okay, we set up bank accounts for all of them at Union Bank. The kid accounts, whatever. And then we did the, they had custodial accounts, but they never really understood what that was. So I asked the kids what they wanted to invest in this morning at breakfast. And Harper's like, well, I want to invest in veterinary stuff because she loves animals much. So we found an ETF called PAWS.
Oh, yeah.
I told her this is complete and utter, there's no basis for this investment, but she was excited about it. And so we bought some ETF.
That's cool.
PAWS, P-A-W-Z.
I think there's a point where behavioral finance and making solid investment decisions becomes maybe not so important when you're just trying to get kids' interest in it, right?
Was not a large trade, I'll put it that way.
Do fractional shares?
I couldn't figure that part out on Schwab, but it was cool to see her interested. Avery bought Costco. And Grady said, I don't really care. I want to buy Pokemon cards. I said, that's not the point of this exercise.
Right.
So I made the decision for Grady. He's the 6-year-old.
But that's awesome.
It was pretty fun.
What did Grady get?
Grady got whatever the S&P 500 BlackRock ETF is. Days, whatever, IVZ or something like that.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Well, today's show, we want to talk about not only the behavioral finance aspect of investing, because we talk about that a lot, but it is so true to the core of being successful at investing is understanding the behavioral aspects that go along with it. But also we want to talk about factors and even some new developments with us as we continue to evolve and get better, which we make a quest and an oath to never stop trying to get better in how we construct portfolios. How do you build a portfolio? What do you do? There's so many options and so many choices, and there's red lights and green lights and stock pickers, and there's sector rotators, ETFs and mutual funds. And, do you buy an asset allocation? Do you buy a sector? It's just, there's so much to do. So we think we can help our listeners, and we can help people today, right, Alex, come up with a process to do that. So not only do you understand the behavioral scope of it, which we'll talk about a little bit here in just a sec, but then we also will get into kind of factors and what that means. What does factors mean, and how do you apply those in a portfolio? So
in our firm alone right now, there are 4 generations of advisors, which means there's 4 different kind of ways to approach how to invest given their life experience and circumstances. And I think everybody listening to the show is going to find themselves somewhere in that one of those 4 generations that's living today, maybe even 5 in some families. But the way investing used to be done 50 years ago has evolved. And so those factors continue to evolve. It's not like a set it and forget it.
One of the great quotes that we look at a lot is, we don't have to be the smartest person in the room. We don't even have to be smarter than the rest of the people out there. But what we do have to do is be more disciplined than the rest. Mm-hmm. And that's what investing comes down to, is having a discipline. We always talk about having an investment philosophy. We talk about it specifically as having A, one investment, having one investment philosophy. And that means not only one, having one,
right,
but it also means having one. Because when you rotate and move all around all over the board, that also doesn't work, but you do have to you have to think about things and continue to evolve as well. So, mm-hmm. You know, there's a couple themes when you talk about behaviors that I think drive us. And one of those is envy, right? You hear about a friend who picked a stock and they did so well. So all of a sudden you start wanting to pick stocks and make tons of money. And that was probably or maybe an anomaly that happened in that particular situation. And so that's one of the behavioral mistakes that people make, right?
Bitcoin is the first thing I think about when I think about envy. My brothers who are millennials and they lived in the Bay Area for
right.
while the Bitcoin thing was going from nobody heard of it to exploded and
all 18,000.
They still talk about cryptocurrency like it's a reality, like this is the way to go. And I say, you know, and I know that we have internal discussions around what is cryptocurrency and how is it relevant, and if it is, how is it relevant,
right?
What is the discipline behind it? And the envy thing drives so many people on cryptocurrency.
Well, yeah, it drives. How about, you know, a friend of mine shows me how he picks a stock and he bought it at $2 a share and it went to $80 a share. And, you know, and I'm thinking, geez, I'm a financial advisor. I run a wealth management RIA firm. I should have known about that stock, but it's just not the game we play. And he got wildly lucky. Maybe he knew something. Maybe it was talent and skill too. And he can repeat that. If he can, he's going to be ultra wealthy, and that's great for him.
Yep.
But probably not, because we probably didn't hear about the couple that he picked that went the other way. But
probably.
Yeah, it does create envy. So envy, something you got to be careful of, right? And you got to think, if I want to be a successful investor, how can I be a successful investor? One of the ways is to have discipline, and envy is the enemy of discipline, right? Because envy causes you to want to do something that somebody else did, or it causes you to just think differently.
It goes all the way back to the Ten Commandments, right?
Yep.
Don't covet.
Yeah, exactly.
That's, isn't envy a method of coveting something? I mean...
Yeah, so that's fun. You know, we look at a bunch of different things too, and you think about how envy fills in with people, right? And it's, I lost money, I didn't make as much. Some of the other ones are, again, I lost money, I didn't make as much. But diversification can work in all of these scenarios and help you have a better portfolio. And so that's one of the things. Regret is a huge one, right? We talk about regret all the time, how so often you regret, I should have got out, I should have got in. And we put ourselves through this crazy levels of stress and emotions, thinking about the things we could have done, should have done, somebody else did, we didn't do. And you don't have to do that to be successful. I think the point of behavioral finance is that you can control your behaviors. You can control the things that you can control, ignore those that you can't. And you don't have to do that to have good results. You don't have to have good results. All you have to do is have disciplined, well-diversified portfolio, and you'll have great results. So all that stress and all that stuff often leads to not as good as a result, or
and stress
and lots of stress, which is not fun. So we want to keep talking about this. I think there's more to unpack in the behavioral aspect, but then we also want to talk about factors. Like, what is a factor? How do you build a portfolio then? Should we build it by asset class? Should we build it by sector? What are factors? And we'll pick that up when we come right back from a short break. So thanks. It's Financial Detox. I'm Jason Labrum. You can get a hold of us at financialdetox.com. You can also give us a call anytime at 877-707-8889. Thanks, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Financial Detox. I'm Jason Labrum in studio with Alex Klingensmith. And today we are talking about factors, and we're talking about behaviors, and as it relates to financial detox, right? The concept of financial detox is helping you make better decisions and help you build better portfolios. To make better decisions and have better actions, you have to have an understanding of behavioral finance and what causes us to get off track. We talked a little bit about envy. We talked a little bit about, what was the other one we said in the first segment? We didn't mention hurting.
Mostly envy, just about how you can find yourself in somebody else's story and regret.
Yeah.
Envy turns into regret if someone else did something and they did it really well and you could have done it, but you didn't and you made a different decision. So rewind and back up to, I mean, back in the day, I mean, that's how I say it at least, but you could buy stocks through a broker.
Yep.
Right? It was before I was even an investor. I was a kid.
Right.
I didn't know this.
You had to go to a broker to buy stocks because you couldn't buy it online.
Mutual funds existed back then, I think, right?
Yes.
They were common, but they were
expensive
and kind of...
fee-ridden.
And you could buy bonds. Now you've got mutual funds, that you got index funds, you've got ETFs, so it's evolving, right? Yep. Investing is evolving to allow people to... It's immediate gratification on your phone.
Right.
So factors. We talked about this whole show is supposed to be around factors, what you can control and why you invest in certain ways, or why we believe we should invest in certain ways.
Yeah.
You got stocks and bonds.
Right.
Those are factors.
These are factors, right? Your tilt to equity. So we know for a fact that over time, if you own equities in a diversified fashion, you're going to have higher volatility, but you're also going to have a higher rate of return. So there's an equity factor, or also I like the way Dimensional says it with premium, right? There's a premium to be received for owning a premium.
Because there's more risk.
Return. Sure.
There's more risk. If a company goes out of business, goes bankrupt, the common shareholders are like the last people to get their money. So there's more risk than the bonds.
Yeah.
So. And within stocks, you've got United States versus non-United States.
Right. U.S. versus international. But also, I think a bigger factor there too. So one, we'll talk about stocks versus bonds, right? So when you decide how to invest your portfolio, you need to decide how much exposure to volatility am I willing to accept? What is my targeted rate of return that I need to achieve my goals? And then you construct this portfolio starting with stocks, bonds, and cash. That's the big layers. But then when you think about stocks, what about the small cap premium?
Right.
Right? Small cap is a factor. So we can look at history and show that over large periods of time, you almost always will see, over large periods of time, small cap will outperform large cap stocks. There also is more volatility and more risk associated with that. So it makes sense. Risk and return are almost always correlated. There's very rare situations where you get this great return for some small risk. So in equities, you mentioned international versus domestic stocks. I don't know how we put a factor on that, but we certainly have the small cap versus large cap factor.
Yeah. I think you see in history, in the data that we have and the decisions that we make, the United States has typically been a more stable asset class. And then when you go U.S. large cap, that's more stable than U.S. small cap or mid cap.
Yep.
Then you go to international, large, mid, small. Then you got emerging markets.
Yep.
With bonds, you know, you've got long-term, short-term, and then the quality of the credit, right?
Yep.
What other factors? Those are the basic ones that we've used for the past decade. That's evolving. It's evolving because there's other ways to measure companies, publicly traded companies, that are persistent across all publicly traded companies.
Yep.
Such as?
Well, and I think a big one that we've also used in the past, we didn't mention yet, is value. Right, which was totally counterintuitive to me. When you think about value stocks, okay, value stocks are companies that have a low book to market value, right? They're inexpensive, relatively speaking, compared to their price and their market value, or their price and their book value. And those stocks are less expensive, and yet you think that a growth stock would have more growth over time, but value stocks, historically speaking, have outperformed growth stocks over longer periods of time.
Historically, meaning you got to go back 20, 30 years.
10, 20, 30. If you look at the last 10 years, we've been in a period where that premium or that factor has not presented itself in a positive way.
Yeah.
Growth has been unbelievable. Tech has been unbelievable. So you've seen value underperform for quite an extended period of time. And I think if I have the numbers correct, it's about 83% of the time. If you look at rolling 10-year periods, you see 83% of rolling 10-year periods, you'll have value outperform. So what's, I think, important to know is you construct a portfolio. Typically, it's around asset classes for us, right? We buy large cap stocks, we buy mid cap, small cap, international large, international small mid, emerging market. And like you mentioned, in bonds, long-term bonds, medium-term bonds, short-term, high-quality, low-quality. But as you start to do that, you need to think about what factors out there have persistent or higher probabilities of out-returning or having better performance, and you construct your portfolio around that. It's kind of the new school style box, if you think about it. If you think the old Morningstar style box, where it was just like it had like large growth, large value, and small growth and small value, now it's almost like the factors.
There's other ones too, right? Profitability. Yep. We were talking the other day on other factors like momentum, I believe, or right?
Momentum. We have quality. Quality can be associated with profitability. So there are a whole new set of investments out there that are available for us as advisors or available for you as an individual to buy into a index, so to speak, but that index, instead of being traditionally cap weighted, where the largest stock gets the largest percentage, that index instead is weighted by the factor. Mm-hmm. So we're going to buy stocks that are more value oriented, or we're going to buy stocks that are more profitability oriented, or we're going to buy stocks that are smaller cap. And so you can get very low cost, tax efficient exposure to these factors. And that's really it, right? You have minimum volatility. You have, we didn't even talk about that one yet, but you have small caps, you have value, you have quality, AKA profitability, and then you have momentum. So those are the factors that we use. And we added minimum volatility a year or so ago, two years ago. We added momentum about a year ago. We're adding more of that now as we look at different things and opportunities to increase the allocation in the portfolio.
Do things like COVID, you know, this giant crisis we're all living through that have rocked the economies of the world and the markets of the world, do things like these help those factors build more evidence around how they kind of react during times like this?
Well, they're certainly giving us more data, right? More data to look at. And as you dissect a portfolio, you have to say, well, what am I looking for in analyzing this portfolio? Am I looking for straight sectors? Like it's financial, it's materials, it's consumer cyclicals. Those are straight sectors. Or am I going to look for something that I can pull out kind of robust, reliable, persistent data that shows me some evidence to which companies are going to give me a better rate of return for the risk I'm willing to take. We choose to pull out these more sensible, robust, you know, repeatable type of factors.
Well, that's because our clients want from us, right? They want us to be able, because everyone wants us to predict the future.
Right.
And we simply say, well, let's look backwards and see what happened if you did it this way. If your financial plan determined that your target rate of return is 6 to 8% a year, that you need to make on your investments every year on average, given ups and downs, you know, that means you're a 60-40.
Yep.
This is what a 60-40 looks like based on all the stuff we just talked about.
Right.
We're going to bring it back we're going to keep rebalancing it and keep it on track along the way.
Right.
And then when a massive crisis comes, it's going to do exactly what it's supposed to do. And you're going to weather that storm through discipline.
Right.
Right. But we have to look back. These things have been around for a while.
Yeah.
It can't be a trendy new thing.
Yeah, the trendy new thing. There should be a factor on that. There should be a factor on what's hot today. The hot factor.
That's
momentum. It's Financial Detox. I'm Jason Labrum with Alex Klingensmith. And today we're talking about behavioral finance. We're talking about the factors that are involved in that. But we're also talking about the factors that are involved in constructing a portfolio and how to build the best portfolio you can be, the best portfolio you can. And you know, as a firm that is a fiduciary legally bound to act in our clients' best interest, one of the things that we do when constructing portfolios is we always start with kind of the end goal in mind by using a financial plan and understanding what the client's goals and objectives are. So you as a listener, you got to figure out what are your goals and objectives, where do you want to go, so you can build a plan to get there. If you don't have a plan of where you want to go, you're going to end up somewhere else. This is not a good strategy. So you got to have a plan. And once you have a plan, you know what the rate of return you need to achieve your goals.
You also know the expected volatility. You're talking about risk at the break. And I think the best way I explain it to people and how to really, remember, detoxify people from their experience is the point of this show. Why we're talking to you right now is that there's an easier way to do it than you probably have been doing it, right? But once you know what your goals are and what your whole financial plan looks like, your whole financial world, you can kind of see the future. You can say, well, if I'm supposed to make 6 to 8% a year, and this is what that means in terms of reducing all the potential things I can reduce, control what we can control, I expect to be maybe up or down 20% or 25% in the worst possible year, COVID.
Yeah.
This year's not over yet, but it's interesting to see where we end up compared to 08, 09, and 01, and the previous major years that were really stressful. But if we're able to go into every meeting and know, okay, here's what it could happen. You have $1 million. You could be potentially temporarily down 250. Yeah. You haven't lost it because you're so diversified across thousands of stocks and bonds.
You own great companies. And
the behavioral finance thing kind of kicks in because then the people, our clients, already know the worst possible case scenario.
Yep.
The probable, very high degree of probability worst case. And they can go about their lives.
This slide that we have up right now is like prepare for the worst before it happens. A perfect example, right, is if you know what the worst case scenario is going to be when it happens, like March 23rd, you should be able to be comfortable and be calm and still sleep well, especially if you have a financial plan that is stress test and ran Monte Carlo scenarios and that's just a fancy word for stress test, but looked at your portfolio and your life and your financial plan and said, hey, in the worst case scenario, you're still going to be okay. You're going to recover because not all publicly traded stocks are going to cease to exist and just go away. If they do, we have much bigger problems. I think we've referenced horses, guns, ammunition, Bitcoin. I mean, if every Bitcoin. Publicly traded stock ceases to exist at the same time, that's That's the only thing that could take away your portfolio if you're diversified and you're well-founded.
So we can control the factors, and we can control the way that we manage the factors on an ongoing basis through major market events and through regular markets, right? Or regular, whatever that even means anymore.
Yeah.
Through stable, like boring market times.
This year certainly hasn't been. We had one of the single biggest declines ever. And then we had one of the single biggest recoveries ever, right?
It's a record book year for sure.
Unbelievable. So this is a generational probably experience.
If you don't have, by the way, if you went through those things and you're still freaked out and totally just in the dark and just hoping it's all going to be okay, you should reach out to us. Well, we can set you back on track, or we can at least show you where you're at and get you back on track if you're not.
Well, if you don't have a plan, then it's going to be a stressful, uncomfortable journey, right? And if you don't have a plan with a way of how you're going to construct the portfolio, how are you going to behave and have it all tied to your, then it's really a miserable experience, and we want to help you fix that. But I think one great way to do it right now, one of the offers that we have for today for our listeners, is a program that we use. It's a program through one of our professional relationships. It's a very exclusive, hard to get access to risk analysis tool that runs over 3,000 different decomposition risk scenarios in your portfolio. So if you're still going, hey, wait, this market recovered, it recovered too fast, I'm scared about what's going to happen in the future, I'm scared about what could happen if the second wave of COVID or whatever the reason may be, a great thing to do is A, build a plan. We always talk about that. But B is look at your portfolio and look at the risks in there. Look at the risks to everything from political outcomes to unexpected interest rate changes to, you know, pandemics and epidemics. Look at how that is going to affect your portfolio. And we have a tool, it's called Aladdin through BlackRock, that allows us to deconstruct the risk in your portfolio. And then we can line it right up with the portfolio that we would construct for you based upon your plan and compare and say, which is a better way to invest? It's remarkable the outcomes that we've seen in these. I mean, we rarely, and this is not a brag or toot our own horn, but when we look at portfolios that come into our firm of prospective clients, they are oftentimes disastrous. I mean, most of the time there is room for significant improvement. In fact, remember when we did a $100 challenge, I think the $100 cheapened it, but we should have done the $1,000
challenge. It brought in a lot of people though. And you know what though, for people that are listening, that I know they're out there because we've brought them on as clients, many of them. We all kind of don't want to show our cards. Like, oh, they're like, you're like embarrassed. Like, I don't know how I got this portfolio, but I'm sorry. You almost apologize. Look, it's okay. You've done a great job earning money, saving money, investing money.
Right.
Those are the three steps to succeeding.
Yeah.
All we're doing now is just like a doctor would coming in and saying, well, a tweak here, a tweak there. Now you're set up for success, long-term financial health.
Right.
That's the point of this. Don't be embarrassed. It's okay.
Right.
Maybe it's not so bad. Maybe it is. Either way, we're not going to tell you it's bad. We're just going to show you a better way.
Yeah. Well, we'll probably tell you it's bad. We'll say, this is not good.
But here's some room for improvement.
Because there is room for improvement. It's better to fix it now and get on track. And so I think that's our offer today. We want to make sure that you know you can tap into us and the Financial Detox team at Intelligence Driven Advisors. Take a full scope risk analysis of your portfolio. We'll set up a financial plan through a discovery process. This is all no cost. We do this as a way to get to know you and see if there's a good fit. And if there is, then we'll take it from there. But a couple things to just close on. You know, when you're investing and you're building a plan, you have to have a plan. When you're building an investment portfolio, you need to have a plan. You need to have a basic understanding of how you're going to behave during different markets. And there needs to be a reason why you're building the portfolio you're building. And that's what we were talking about today in the most simplistic form. We would invite you to check us out at financialdetox.com, and you can learn more there. And also, if you would like to have a conversation and a no obligation discovery call, then we're happy to do that as well. And that's 877-707-8889. It's Financial Detox. Thanks to Alex for being here as always.
Thanks, Jason.
And we'll catch you guys on the next show.
To learn more about Financial Detox and to get access to today's show notes, transcript, and resources, visit financialdetox.com. Call Jason and the team at Intelligence Driven Advisors. If you're ready for financial detox and a better tomorrow, call 877-707-8889. Get answers to your questions. That's 877-707-8889. That's financialdetox.com. For podcasts and information. And if you like what you've heard, be sure to hit the subscribe button. That way, you'll be notified about upcoming podcasts. You'll take one more step toward financial peace of mind. Money.
This content is provided for informational purposes only and should not be considered investment advice or recommendations to buy or sell any types of securities. Mr. Labrum and Intelligence Driven Advisors are not responsible for the consequences of any decisions or actions taken as a result of information provided in this program and do not warrant or guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the information provided. The information discussed today reflects the views of Mr. Labrum and his guests as of the date of the show and are subject to change without notice. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Any forward-looking statements or forecasts are based on assumptions, and actual results may vary from any such statements or forecasts. No reliance should be placed on any statements or forecasts when making an investment decision. Accordingly, listeners should not rely solely on information provided today in making any investment decisions. There is a risk of loss of investing in securities, including the risk of loss of principal. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and there can be no assurance that any specific investment will be profitable or suitable for particular investors, financial situation, or risk tolerance. Asset allocation and portfolio diversification cannot assure or guarantee better performance and cannot eliminate the risk of investment losses.